Hello and welcome back. I'm Amanda Goldston, LearnTarotOnline.com. Today we're going to talk about the second part of the Major Arcana cards, which is from the Death card, numbered 13, right the way through to the World card, numbered 21, in the Major Arcana deck. I hope you've had plenty of opportunity to practice with the cards that we did previously, which was the Fool card to the Hanged Man. And as I've said before, the best way to do this, to learn the tarot, is just take the cards out, take a few deep breaths just to reconnect with yourself, with your universal energies, whether that's angels, guides, and just kind of breathe out anything that doesn't serve you. And breathe in love, light, peace and connection. And just get yourself in a calm, quiet, relaxed place through some gentle breathing. And shuffle your cards to clear away any energies from any previous readings. And just lay them out side by side. Look at the cards. Notice the colours. Notice the pictures. Notice the symbols. Notice what's actually going on in the card. And just notice how that card makes you feel when you put it down. Do you get an immediate, good, light-hearted, wonderful feeling? Or do you get more of a feeling in the pit of your stomach, perhaps of anticipation or maybe nervousness? Just notice how you feel. When you're working with your intuition, what you do tend to notice over time is that there are almost kind of two different feelings that you get. One, when your intuition's trying to connect with you and say that, yes, this is something that's great, it's wonderful, go with it, do it. And the other feeling, which is more a sense of, well, I don't really think that's a very good idea. More a sense of nervousness, trepidation. And these feelings can actually be very, very different. And one of the things I would suggest to you is just practice identifying which is which. And the easiest way to do this is to take a few deep breaths, get yourself into a place where you're feeling quite calm and relaxed, and then just think of a time when you had an intuitive prompt, a flash of inspiration, and it was something that was absolutely right for you to do. Or somebody that was absolutely right for you to trust, you were in the right place, the right time, with the right people. And just notice and remember that feeling, particularly if it's something that you acted on it and it was then proven to be right. Just kind of notice it, where it is in your body, how it feels like, what it looks like. And then you can do the same thing for kind of a feeling where your intuition was trying to warn you about something or somebody. And if you just take a few deep breaths, take yourself back to that place where you had that feeling. And again, particularly if you acted on it and you chose to act on that intuition, that prompt, and you were right. And again, just notice the feeling, notice where it is in your body. What does it look like? What does it feel like? And if you can distinguish between those two, that is a very good connection to your intuition, which is really what we want to be working on with the cards. Because as you put a card down and look at it, not only take notice of the colours and the pictures, but take notice of that immediate intuitive feeling that you get. If you hear any words or phrases in your head, or it suddenly prompts you to think of a person or a situation, or maybe something that you need to do, take a note of that, because the cards are a direct connection between you and your intuition. And again, that's just practice. It's practice developing your intuition, much as the same as practice looking at the cards and reading them from what you can see and what you can feel. Probably as well, if you haven't already got yourself a tarot journal, to get yourself one, just so that you can keep note of all of these things and come back to them at a later stage for reference. Okay, so the next of the cards we're going to deal with is the card numbered 13, which is the Death card. So take it out of the deck or have a good look at it in the picture in your notes. The Death card tends to be one of the cards that whenever anybody thinks of the tarot, this is anybody who doesn't understand it, this tends to be one of the cards that sends shivers right up and down their spine, and it hasn't been helped by a few major Hollywood films that have shown the Death card as a prediction, as a foreboding, as a premonition that somebody's going to die. And whilst that can be one meaning for the Death card, it is very, 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 very rare that it comes up as a physical death. In over 16 years of reading cards, I've only ever seen it once. And that was a situation where the lady concerned knew that her mother was going to die. And as it was, the lady didn't survive the night. But that's been the only situation. When you see the Death card come up, the thing to remember with it is that it is representing endings. Endings, new beginnings, things changing. It can literally be the death of the old. And that also means then that if something is finishing, is coming to an end, something new must be starting. And actually, this is a very good card to get for somebody because there's whole new cycles that are starting. If you just look at the card itself and just really see what you can see, the dominant colours essentially are black and white. You've got the black of the flag, you've got the black of the suit of armour, reins and bridle on the horse are black, yet the rose is white, the horse is white. The other thing you've then got is you've got the sunshine rising in the background. So as you're kind of looking at the scene, you've got the various figures here. Nobody actually seems to be particularly frightened. It's a scene, interestingly, where there is a surprising amount of calm. Some of the words to be associated with the Death card is endings, new beginnings, change, letting go. The black and white of the colours is opposites, positive, negative, night and day, yin and yang, duality. And the yellow is representing the dawn of a new day, new ideas, new beginnings. The white rose is the mystic rose, which is the symbol of life. And the sun shining between the pillars is the symbol of immortality. The Death card is about massive change, massive transformation. And sometimes that change can be very difficult because we're moving into unknown territory. And sometimes the fear of the unknown can be greater than the familiarity of the present situation, even if that present situation is not what we want and it's not serving us. It can be painful to let go of the past and to embrace new ideas and people, but this is very much what the Death card is saying to us, is that there are changes around us. And by embracing those changes, we can actually move into a much better place for ourselves. The next card, which follows on from the Death card, is the Temperance card. It's the card number 14 in the deck of cards. So again, take the Temperance card out, put it in front of you, or have a look at the picture in the notes, and just notice what we can see. And how this card makes you feel. A very different card from the previous one. The dominant colours you've got here are the white of the angel's robe, which is about spirituality. There's balance here. There's all the elements. You've got earth represented in the green, air and spirituality in the white, fire in the red, water in the blue, and the red of the wings being the connection between heaven and earth. What can we see here? Well, we can see an angel standing with one foot in the water, pouring water between two chalices. This is a beautiful card. Temperance is about healing, balance, calm, plenty. Life is flowing. It's about serenity, allowing. In some ways, it's also about testing the water, keeping your options open, staying in balance, allowing things to flow. And that kind of idea is reflected in you've got the two cups and the balance of the water going between them. You've got one foot on the land, one foot in the water. It is a card of moderation, pausing for thought before you act. Temperance is a great healer of mind, body and spirit. Its inner strength, self-control and a quiet, knowing confidence is just take the time to listen to and feel your emotions and take that inspired action when it comes from the heart. It may also be that this is very much a need for a time to balance, to reassess, particularly sort of following on the back of the death card, where we've just had massive change, massive transformation, and then we just need to take time to readjust, rebalance ourselves, take stock of what's changed, what's moved on, and just take some time to understand ourselves and be in that place of balance and harmony within ourselves. And sometimes it can be a very good idea to go out into nature as well, just to kind of readjust and just allow ourselves to feel that balance and that healing that comes from the Temperance card. So we pause for breath, and the next card then we come to is the Devil card. This is the card numbered 15 in the deck, and this is another one of the cards that, for people who have no understanding of tarot, is one of the cards that causes great fear. And there are three, really. There are three or four. The main ones being the Death, the Devil, and the Tower card, which is we've got to come yet. When you look at the card, it's very easy to understand why it initially causes such fear in people. A lot of it comes from our educational, religious, cultural upbringings, depending on your upbringing that you've had. For many of us that have had perhaps a traditional Christian-based upbringing, you see the Devil card come up, and it really is the stuff of nightmares. You see this figure sitting here with the wings and the horns and the fire. And very often for people, this is one of the cards when it comes up, that there is an almost immediate reaction of, oh my God, what's that? Oh, whereas actually that Devil card, it doesn't need to bring up that kind of reaction, because like all the cards that perhaps have challenge to them, there is always a positive and constructive side to these cards as well. I mean, if we just look at the card itself, the dominant colours are kind of the black and white of the background, of the wings. You've got the orange of the creature's body, which, interestingly, this figure has kind of metamorphosed from the original figure of Pan, who was one of the deities associated with nature, with fertility. What we see in the Devil card then, we have the two figures in chains. This card is actually very reminiscent of the Lover's card. And you might actually find it quite useful to lay the two cards together to be able to see the similarities. As again, we see the large figure, in this case, the Devil, whereas in the previous card, it was the Angel, and the two figures of the man and the woman with the chains around the neck. Now, the chains, if you look at them, are actually quite loose, and they could shake themselves free from that. The Devil card is about commitments. It can be in legal or official senses about contracts. It's also about excess. It can be the consequences of excess, of materialism. It can relate to obsession, to controlling. It can also be relating to temptation. It can be relating to our inner demons, which at some point come up for most of us in some way, shape or form and need to be dealt with. And when you see the Devil card, it's representing ties and commitments that can come as a consequences of our actions. This may be about obsession, excess, passion used negatively for self-control or for gain. Around legal matters, it's a warning to be careful before taking on commitments or signing contracts or documents, because you might end up taking on more than you've bargained for and find it rather difficult to extricate yourself. Within relationships, when you see the Devil come up, now whether this is personal relationships or business relationships, the kind of the purity and innocence and naivety of the love and the passion that you found in the Lover's card may have now turned into an obsession with material wealth and showing us, and maybe other destructive things that have come in, such as jealousy, possessiveness, abuse, cruelty, neediness, manipulation. There is a total lack of anything spiritual within the Devil card. There may also be a feeling of a loss of personal strength, maybe a sense of powerlessness, that you're being controlled by someone or something else. The Devil card may well be telling you that you need to reclaim your personal power and make new choices. In a reading, if somebody is contemplating something such as a love affair or dodgy business dealings, and the Devil comes up before they've actually done it, then it is a very clear warning not to do that, because the consequences could well be very unpleasant. So it's certainly not a card to be afraid of. It is a very powerful card. And this is a card that very much take it and place it next to the other cards that we've got. Taking some of the cards we had in the other audio, the first one, if, say, you were to put it next to the Emperor, I would very much be looking towards contracts, documents, legal things, and a need to be very careful with those. If you place it next to, say, the Lover's card, and you can very much see the parallels between the two cards, where that pure, naive, innocent passion has now become controlling, dominant, obsessive. Again, just sort of play around with the cards. If you put the Devil next to the High Priestess, for example, you may have somebody that intuitively knows that a situation is not right. They may be using that intuition, the secrecy, for dominance, controlling, manipulation. If you've got it, say, next to the Death card, then you have got somebody who's in quite a challenging position where clearly things have got to change. It may not be very straightforward for that to happen, but somebody has got to take some action to allow changes to take place within that situation. And in kind of true tarot style, we've kind of not finished with our challenge yet. The next one in the Major Arcana is the Tower card, and this is numbered 16 in the deck. So if you take the card out and have a good look at it, this is another one of the cards that, when people have very little understanding of the tarot, this is another one that seems to cause huge fear for people. And particularly if you kind of lay it alongside something like the Death, the Devil and the Tower all together, that I would say is a very challenging time for somebody. As you're looking at the card is actually very dark. You've got a lot of blue, very dark blue. You've got the grey stone tower with the crown on it that's being struck by a bolt of lightning, going up in flames, and the figures are falling from the tower. Again, when you look at this, it may be that they have got a long way to fall, or it may be that just below what you can see, there's some nice soft ground for them to fall on. When we see the Tower card come up, the kinds of things to be expecting is upheaval, sudden change, something unexpected, a bolt out of the blue. This is often one of the few cards that represents something coming along over which perhaps we really don't have very much control. However, what we do have is the control to decide how we're going to react to it. The Tower is representing all our values, our ideals, the way we've created our life. And the bolt of lightning can literally be something out of the blue, which shakes the whole thing to the core. It tends to point to something unexpected, unplanned. It will probably cause a big change and considerable upheaval. It will sweep away what needs to be changed and make way for new and better things. Now, although I've said it's something you may not be able to do anything about, it may be that there have been opportunities to change things in your life and you haven't done anything about it, and the Tower comes along then and kind of makes that change for you. So, for example, if somebody who's been very unhappy in their job for years but too afraid to change because they've got bills to pay and the rent to pay and mortgage to pay and whatever, suddenly they get fired or the company gets taken over, that then inevitably, as hard as that seems to be, it will ultimately have a silver lining, because they may then be able to set up a business with their own passion, their hobbies. Sometimes, though, when it's happening, it's very difficult to see how and where there could be a silver lining to something. Often the biggest challenge with the Tower can actually be to let go of that past situation and to go with the flow of a new one. And often when people have had some sort of tower in their lives, they'll often look back and say, well, I'm really glad that event happened because we've been able to do this and that. And if that hadn't happened, we'd have never done this. The tower is signifying a period of growth and change. And you've always got the choice of how you react. Now, interestingly as well, we've kind of talked a lot here as to where the tower may be quite challenging for somebody. But by the same token, because it is something coming quite unexpectedly, quite out of the blue, that yes, is going to shake our world up, that can also be something very positive. For example, if you got the tower next to the Wheel of Fortune, if you had positive cards around that, that could be suddenly something coming out of the blue, maybe money coming or a new opportunity or suddenly a career change, perhaps a new job that's going to require you to move to another part of the country. So the tower, it kind of breaks down the things that need to be changed. It does always bring something better on the back of it, although it may be quite difficult to see at the time. I mean, certainly if you are looking at a lineup where you've, say, got the tower, the death and the devil all together, then I would say that, yes, somebody is going through a very challenging time and there are going to be unexpected things happening in their lives. Their whole life is going through a period of upheaval, of change. However, it may be that they need to be able to shake themselves free from the bonds and the commitments that have been there through the devil. And I think the thing to remember, certainly if you've got that lineup, is that the death has bright new sunshine. The tower could never be rebuilt the way it was, but there's a silver lining that's coming from that. And the chains around the people's neck in the devil card are nowhere near as hard to shake off as they might seem at first. So again, just put the cards next to each other. If, say, you've then got the tower card next to the temperance, it's saying to you that, yes, there's an upheaval, there's something needs changing. However, it'll be fine because you've then got your balance, your healing that's coming from the back of that. The remainder of the cards here really are all actually quite beautiful cards. The next card is the Star card. It's numbered 17 in the deck. And this again is another beautiful card. If you look at the card, you can see a naked figure by the side of a pool of water, pouring water into the water and into the onto the ground, with a huge big star in the centre and seven other little stars around it. And the Star card, again, very much a card of balance. You've got your bright star in the centre. You've got the figure, which is really representing just purity, innocence, being totally comfortable with yourself and who you are. And when you see the Star card come up, it's a card of wishes, dreams, pleasure, joy, plenty, balance, flow. Blue is mostly dealing with the emotions. There's plenty of lush green for the earth. And the bright yellow star of hope in the middle. The stars are symbols of hope and optimism. They're always around, even during the day when we can't see them. And the figure just looks totally comfortable with themselves. It's bringing peace of mind, calm, inspiration, its inner strength, playfulness, going back to nature. It reminds us that the true contentment comes from being at peace with yourself. And sometimes the simplest of things can give the greatest and long-lasting pleasure. Body and spirit are one. There's a lack of self-consciousness. Just allow yourself to enjoy that innocence of childhood. The Star card is a card of rejuvenation, fertility, ideas, hopes, wishes, dreams, fulfillment. And it really is a lovely card to see. And again, putting the Star card side by side with some of the other cards we've seen, notice how that brightens things up. If you've, say, got the Death card next to the Star card, yes, you've got massive changes and endings and beginnings, but that will then bring you to a place which is almost where you've always wanted to be, your hopes, your wishes, your dreams. And again, just notice how things change when you kind of put things together. The next one, card 18, is the Moon card. Again, take the card out, have a good look at it, and notice what you can see. You can see the card is largely blue, which is very much our emotions, our intuition. It's very reminiscent of the symbolism of the High Priestess card. And actually, some people will say that you're looking, as you're looking at the pillars, you're looking at the back of the pillars that you were looking at from the other side from the High Priestess card. The moon is all about, it is about intuition, dreams, nighttime, things going on in the inner self. You can see the moon that almost has the face of the moon and the sun built in together. When you see the moon card come up, there may be misunderstandings, lack of communication. When we see things by the light of the moon, inevitably things look different than they do when we look at them during the day. There's a whole different light, a whole different glow to things. And often the moon and nighttime is considered the time of dreams, of mystery, of things where often if there's going to be anything challenging happen, it happens at nighttime by the light of the moon. And you can see the two animals looking up at the moon. It's very important to look at things maybe differently. With the two faces of the moon, perhaps there are two sides to the matter. The card is about being able to look inside yourself as well. So although there may be misunderstandings, there's possibly self-delusion. The moon is associated with the sign of Cancer. The moon is also a symbol of motherhood, women, a strong force in the monthly cycle. It is important to access that feminine side, the emotions, the intuition, access the dreams. You may well need to really clarify matters, especially in communication. Where you're getting the moon card, perhaps you have a bit of self-delusion, unrealistic expectations. Maybe you've lost your way a little bit and need to be able to reconnect with yourself, your intuition, the real inner depth of feelings, perhaps also to do with imagination and creativity. And it can be very inspiring and enchanting, as well as holding the promise that everything your heart desires can be yours. I mean, if, for example, we saw the Emperor and the Moon, and again, we were dealing with legal or official situations, there would certainly be a need for clarification. There may be things that have been misunderstood, perhaps deceit, not quite totally clear. If you've got, say, the Moon and the High Priestess or the Hermit, this is very much a time for going inward, exploring yourself, looking at what's going on in that real sort of deep inner world. The next one, card number 19, is the Sunshine, the Sun card. And this, again, is another really lovely card. If you have a look at the card in the Rider-Waite deck, you can see that a good half of the card is dominated by the large sun figure at the back. Then you've got a small child sitting on a pony or sitting on a horse with sunflowers in the background holding a big orange banner. Most people have an instant feel good when they see this card because it is a card of health, happiness, joy, balance, youthfulness, innocence, vitality, bright. Yellow sun, being the dominant colour, is representing the power, energy, life force, courage and strength, and the source of everything that is creation. And yellow being the colour of your solar plexus, which represents your inner power and your inner source of energy and power. The orange banners representing physical energy and vitality, and is also, again, a connection between heaven and earth. It's almost like you're connecting to the energies of the sun and drawing them down physically into yourself in the earth. And the white of the horse is your spirit and a childlike sense of wonder and innocence. A really lovely card, bringing joy, hope, confidence. If somebody has been unwell, there is improved health, abundance of energy, good physical and mental health and a positive attitude. It's also acknowledging your self-worth and your abilities, being able to allow yourself to shine brilliantly in the outside world, maybe gain prominence or become the centre of attention. And with the Sun card, you have a knowing of your own personal power, and it's being able to let that light shine both inside and outside. The next card, card number 20, is the Judgment card. Interestingly, this is actually another card that when people are talking about tarot who don't really understand it, can think that it's a bit of a scary card. Because through certain religions, the idea of judgment has very much been that we've all been very naughty people and we're going to be judged for what we've done, and there's going to be a great punishment and retribution handed out for all the bad naughty things we've done. And that is as probably as far away from the meaning of the Judgment card in the Rider-Waite tarot deck as you can possibly get. If you look at the card, there's a lot of blue in it, which is to do with the emotions. You've then got a large angel sort of blowing almost what looks like a bugle, and you've then got the figures rising up almost in joy, rising up out of the boxes, rising up out of the sea, and it looks like they're rising kind of in joyful celebration. And this is very much the idea of the Judgment card. It is a sense of rebirth, of coming alive, of hope, almost perhaps a bit of a wake-up call, and being able to let go of the judgments of others and ourselves. And if we can take almost the opposite idea of, rather than standing in judgment in front of a very angry, all-powerful, very upset universal being, if we can look at it that we are able to release all the judgments that we've made about ourselves, we've made about other people. And the Judgment card is a wonderful card because it's an awakening, a revelation, a sudden awareness. It can also be awakening to the possibilities and a potential for greatness that every person has within them. And in order to be able to do that, that is about forgiving yourself and others, as well as letting go of destructive emotions like guilt, blame, anger, fear. The judgment almost has this feeling of cleansing the mistakes of the past and starting again. We've learned from our mistakes, we can move on. It may be that you're making a fresh start, there's renewed hope. If you have an important decision to make, weigh up all the factors and then act without recriminations if it doesn't work out as you've planned. And maybe acknowledging actions that did not go as planned without losing the inherent worth of the individual. So in other words, it is important to assess and maybe judge what has not gone well, critically and objectively. However, without piling on the guilt, blame and other destructive recriminations that often accompany making mistakes. Allow that judgment to really be an awakening, a new start, a new beginning, a revival, and be able to let go of everything that's gone and move yourself forward into that place of love and joy and fun and abundance that actually is our birthright. And the final card in the Major Arcana is the World card, number 21 in the deck. And here we see, again, a naked figure with a cloth sort of wrapped, draped around, holding two sticks or two wands in a circle in a wreath, which is often considered to be like a laurel wreath of success. And again, we have the four figures in the corners. And now this card is actually very reminiscent of the Wheel of Fortune card, which we had as number 10. You've got the same figures, the angel, the eagle, the bull and the lion, representing the air, water, earth and fire, respectively. And the figure has the same sort of wands that we've seen in numerous cards through the Major Arcana. The World card is a wonderful card because it is about completions. It's endings, it's success, it's the end of a cycle. And again, new beginnings coming from that is literally a feeling of having the world at your feet, having everything coming together in success, in completion. There is a balance of all the elements in the card. There's a feeling of wholeness, it's completeness. And it is the card of integration, accomplishment and success and celebration. Bringing fruition to the results of your own efforts. Now, there's a lot less element of chance than the Wheel of Fortune here. This is the end of a personal cycle or a project, having your dreams come true, feeling peace of mind, contentment, counting your blessings. And everything seems to be working together in harmony and wholeness. It's the next step. Once a goal's been achieved, it's the start of a new project and building on the existing success. When you put the World card next to any of other cards, just notice how much lighter, brighter, how wonderful you feel when you see that that card next to any others in the deck. You've now got all 22 cards of the Major Arcana. Take them all out of your deck if you haven't got them out already, and just lay them all side by side. And just put them all side by side in two rows, or maybe three rows is another way that works really well. If you can put the cards in rows of seven with the Fool card just to one side, this can be a very good way of looking at the cards, because you can look at them across and see the journey that the Fool, if you like, is going through. And you can also look at them top to bottom. And this really, as I've said before, is the best way to learn. It's just laying the cards side by side, noticing how you feel, noticing how the pictures kind of follow on with each other. Now, as we've got 22 cards, what I would like to explain to you now is one of the main spreads that most people tend to use, and one of the most popular spreads, which is called the Celtic Cross spread. It's probably the most widely used, and there are numerous variations of it, because it's a very useful spread to be asking all sorts of different questions. You find actually there are quite a lot of tarot card readers who only use the Major Arcana in their readings. They don't use anything else. Now, in my view, that can give you quite a heavy reading, because the Major Arcana cards tend to indicate things that are very heavy, very weighty, very significant, very important in your life. Now, what you can do, I'll show you the Celtic Cross spread and just explain to you a little bit how to use it, because it requires 10 of the cards. So you've got 22, so you've got a good number of cards you can start to use. So if you take the Major Arcana cards you've got, shuffle them up just to kind of mix them up a little bit. When you've got one complete pile, then with your left hand, cut the deck into three piles. So you've got three piles in front of you, and then just put them back together as one pile. And it doesn't matter which way round you do this. Face down, and what we're going to do is put them out in the Celtic Cross spread position. So turn over the top card and put it upright in front of you. This position represents the situation. Take the next card off the top of the deck and cross it horizontally across the one that you've just put down. Then literally this is crossing. And this will often bring up the real issue or the challenge. It can be something that is opposing in the situation. Take the next card off the pile, which is number three, and put it below the cross that you've just created. This is basically the root of the situation, or the base of the situation, and it adds further detail to the present situation. The fourth card, take it off the top of the deck and put it to the left-hand side of the cross in the middle. And this indicates the past. It can also indicate influences and events that have just left or may be finishing and coming to an end. So those four initially will give you an overview of what's going on and what has gone on to create this situation. Take the next card, which is number five, and put it immediately above the cross. Now, this is the immediate future. It can also indicate the goal or what the person asking the question may want to achieve. The next position is to the right of the cross. So the last one you put at the top above the cross, and then you're coming across to the right. And this is indicating the close future. The next four cards, we're going to move across to the right, and we're going to put the four cards down in a line from the bottom to the top. The position at the bottom, which is number seven, indicates the fears. It can also be how you see yourself. And what can be very interesting with this is that if you get a positive card in that space, it can be that the cards are telling you not to worry and that your fears are actually quite unfounded, and basically that you'll be fine with it. The next card above is position eight, and this relates to other people and the influences that other people are having in this situation. Can also relate to matters of the home and the environment. The next one above that, which is position nine, indicates the hopes and wishes. And there can often be some very key guidance. And it can also be indicating just a sort of a follow through of the way things are headed. And position 10 at the top of the row indicates the outcome. Now, again, the thing to remember with this particular spread is that firstly, it works best if you're asking the sort of question of what will be the outcome in this situation. And you have to remember in that is that the cards are assuming the rest of the question is what will be the outcome of this situation if I don't make any changes, if I don't alter anything, if I don't do anything differently, where is this situation heading? And you can read that answer. It may be if the answer doesn't seem particularly clear to you that either you have not formulated the question in such a way that the cards can answer it for you. It may be that you don't really want to know the answer at this moment, or it may be that you've really not decided the outcome of the way things are heading. You may still have different decisions that you're playing with. If you've put the 10 cards down and feel that perhaps the answers are still not quite what you would have wanted, you can continue to add four cards in a row from the bottom up. So move over to the right of the row, put another card in the bottom at the fears, another card above that in the other people or the home, another card above that in the hopes and wishes, and another card above that in the outcome. And that actually can give you some fairly key insights, because you can look both horizontally, so you can look to see if maybe there are two or three things that perhaps you're a little bit concerned about, or two or three influences from other people and the home, two or three other things for the hopes and wishes, and a couple of other things for the outcome. Now, it may give further information. It may be that when you've perhaps put some extra rows, that you do then come to a place of having an outcome that you understand or that makes sense to you, which may simply be saying that at the moment, the outcome is not decided, or that it is still further down the line and there are other things that need to happen in between before an outcome can come about. Now, you've got 22 cards with the Major Arcana, and I've actually found that using the Celtic cross spread and adding the extra rows onto it can be a very useful exercise to do. Although, remember that if you have only got 22 cards with the Major Arcana, you're going to come to a point where you've used all of them, because you're using 10 in the main spread. If you're then adding another row of four, you've got 14. If you're then adding another row of four, you've got 18. So you can just about add a third row of four, and that will use up all of the cards that you've got in the Major Arcana deck. Sometimes when you're looking at a spread, that you've put down, let's just say you've just used the basic 10 cards, the first thing to do is really just have an overview of the whole thing. Now, in this instance, we are only using the Major Arcana cards. If we were using other suits as well, which we'll build in over the course of these classes, you would kind of look to see the balance of Major Arcana cards, of different suits, just to get a feel for the reading. But at the moment, we've got 10 cards for the basic Celtic cross spread, and then just additional ones if you want to add those on. And really just notice what cards have come up in each position. Notice how each card makes you feel, how it seems to relate in a sequence to the ones that we've had previously. Make a note of the position within the spread that it comes in, and just practice interpreting that for yourself. It might be useful to think of a situation of your own, because inevitably when you are learning with your cards, one of the things that does happen is there'll be a lot of information and a lot of guidance come up for you for your own personal situations. It's kind of important to almost look at it, if you can relate it to a personal situation, and again at the same time to try to be objective with it. Sometimes it helps almost if you imagine you're reading for somebody completely different that you've never met. They've shuffled up the cards. They haven't told you what the situation or the question is. And just lay the cards down and literally just create that story from one card to the next, explaining what's going on, how it's unfolding. And then maybe having sort of pretended that you're doing a reading for somebody else, have a look at it and see how it relates to your situation and your personal life. That was the overview of part two of the Major Arcana cards, which we've covered from the Death card to the World card. We've also gone through the Celtic cross spread, which is probably the most popular, most widely used spread there is. Have fun with your cards, practice with them, put them in the different positions, create the scenarios, and just practice reading them for yourself. And I would say as much as possible, almost practice reading them out loud. Because I tend to work on the basis that talking to yourself is actually a sign of great genius. So feel free to just to practice, have fun with them. I'm Amanda Goldston, learntarotonline.com, and I'll be back with you again very soon to cover the next of the suits. Bye for now.